Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
Oh, look, it's the Dueling Club. Wowee, I can't believe we're here.
We're back!
So, yeah.
This is Jen.
And I'm Al.
And I'm going to get it out of the way right now. Like, follow, subscribe. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. We're on Instagram, the Dueling Club podcast. You'll find us. We're on hosted on Podbean, but you can listen to us on any podcasting site. Like, follow, subscribe, and comment, because we love to answer you. We answer relatively quickly. Okay. Done with my spiel. Pretty fast.
It was pretty fast.
Yeah. Hey, Al. What's going on in your life?
Stuff and things.
Be more specific, please.
I exist, and it is a good thing.
It is. Still need you to be more specific. What's going on in your life?
Nothing really. I mean, I start work with your boyfriend in a couple of days.
That's good. Having a job is good.
Yep. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay. What's going on in my life?
I should have asked you. What's going on in your life?
Yeah, you should have, but you didn't. How dare you?
Oh, well.
Work is work. It's been actually not that busy the past couple of days, so I've worked on my bullet journal, and for those of you who don't know what a bullet journal is, it's essentially a bullet, it's a journal, not a bullet, it's a journal that you can write lists and do whatever it is you really want to do. Some people are more artistic than others, some like to be minimalist, but I'm going to show Al right now. My spread for August is very much Harry Potter centric.
It's cute.
Hold on, there's more. My mood tracker.
Okay.
And this is the week.
I like it. You should, like, post pictures of it.
I will. I think I'll post it on our Instagram and our Facebook page and group, just to give people ideas. Of course, I'm not the best artist, but I did what I wanted to do. On my August page, it actually has Hedwig carrying a letter. And it has the Hogwarts crest and the Hogwarts motto in both Latin and English. And a little pile of letters at the bottom. And my mood tracker is actually a whole bunch of letters in the air. And what my weekly spread is going to look like is it's going to look like the entrance to Diagon Alley. Super simple, but still cute. I like it.
I don't know, the Hogwarts motto is actually really funny. Because I can just picture, Godric Gryffindor. He's like, there's a dragon, I'm gonna go tickle it. Everyone's like, no, never tickle. Oh, never tickle a sleeping dragon.
Well, and so I was telling my boyfriend, because I showed him pictures of it when I was working on it, and he's like, the Hogwarts motto is never tickle a sleeping dragon. And I'm like, yeah, it's fantastic advice.
It's very practical.
Yes. So we actually have this thing going that we have to motivate each other to do things. And he's like, if you don't do this, I'm going to find a Komodo dragon and tickle it while it's sleeping. I'm like, no, don't do it.
That's bad.
I know. It could end disastrously.
Or he could have a very awesome new best friend.
This is true, but I'm his new best friend.
No, you're the best friend, but you're, like, set aside, because you're also on another list.
Yes, I am on another list. I think I'm on the best list, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm excited that you guys are going to be working together. I think you'll be able to, obviously, spend more time together and get to know each other.
Yep.
More. You know.
He happens to live in New York, we live in New Jersey. It's just a train ride, but train rides become cumbersome very quickly, especially when you have to commute for work like he does anyway. So I don't get to spend a lot of time with him.
Yeah. Here, take your vitamins.
I don't want to take vitamins. I want to
take vitamins. Be healthy. Anyway, so that's also a thing. I make him take vitamins as well.
Good vitamins.
They are good vitamins. They're gummies. I mean, who's going to complain about gummy vitamins? Ooh, I'm trying to make you feel good and or be healthy, and they taste good. What's wrong with me?
Okay. Now enough of the chit-chat.
I like chit-chatting with you. Oh, good God, I can't talk.
You can't even English right now.
I can't. I could Spanish in a minute.
Nope.
No? Do that okay. One. What about French?
Especially not that.
Okay.
So, we're getting towards the end of the book.
We are.
So, we're doing Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, chapter 16. Secrets. Safety.
Yes.
Chapter 16, The Chamber of Secrets. So, this is season 2, episode 15.
Yep.
And go, because you wrote this one.
Okay. So, I was like, what a revelation! Recap from last time. We see, we saw Harry go into Tom Riddle's diary in the chapter before, but that's when they decide to follow the spiders per Hagrid's advice, and they go into the Forbidden Forest and meet Aragog and find out, hey, you know, Aragog's not the monster. He's not Slytherin's monster. And they narrowly escape with their lives, and they also find out that 50 years ago, a girl died in a bathroom. When the monster was last released. So they have an epiphany.
Well, Harry does.
Well, yes. Well, Harry has most of the epiphanies. It's either Harry or Hermione, but Hermione's petrified right now.
Ron just exists.
No. Ron actually...
Right now, he kind of just exists. He doesn't really have many ideas in the beginning of the series, let's be real.
He's there to further their knowledge of magical things. He's also there to support the other two, and he's there to push them forward in certain avenues when they need it. That's kind of his role right now. But anyway, so we find out, girl died in the bathroom. What? Could it be Moaning Myrtle? What a revelation! So the next day, Ron comments that all that time they were in the bathroom brewing the polyjuice potion, all the time that they were there, and they didn't even realize that she was possibly connected to the Chamber of Secrets. And he also comments that it's going to be practically impossible to get to talk to her now, since the teachers and prefects are patrolling all the time. The teachers have to walk them from one class to another, and they're not even allowed to go anywhere by themselves anymore.
Nope.
So how are they going to get there? And they're worrying about this for a few days, but then a couple days later, they're given something else to worry about, which for them takes more precedence. Professor McGonagall informs them that the exams for students will begin the first week of June, which happens to be a week away for them.
Yep.
That's crazy. Everyone is flabbergasted. I had to use the word. I love that word. Yeah. That exams are still happening. And I love McGonagall for this. She's like, the whole point of keeping the school open at this time is for you to receive your education, she said sternly. The exams will therefore take place as usual. And I trust you are all studying hard.
I mean, the issue with this is like, people have been attacked. There's teachers and prefects, but prefects are just students.
Yeah.
Like, they're protecting glorified them. Hall monitors. Yeah, protecting them, with some air quotes in this, but like, Dumbledore couldn't stop the attacks, and Dumbledore's gone, and he's, I mean...
arguably the most powerful wizard in that day.
Yeah, so it's just like, everyone has to be scared, like, completely scared. I mean... I suppose that, like, half-bloods or pure-bloods are just like, oh, it could never be us. It could never be us. But, I mean, the vast majority of the population, or the student body at least, has to be either muggle-born or half-blood, because we know that pure-bloods are fairly rare now.
Yeah. There's the sacred, what was it, 27, 28?
But I think, like, There just can't be that many.
No, there aren't. The Sacred, what was it, 27, 28?
Yeah, but some of them don't have people, like the Crouch family and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mentioning a couple of names, haha.
It's the Sacred 28.
Yeah.
Okay. No, which I think is interesting, because this is episode 28, but whatever. You're right, most of them are half-blood or less at this point, because, you know, like you said, those families died out. They mixed with Muggleborns. They mixed with Muggles themselves. So it's kind
of... Like, right now, look at the list of the 28 and tell me, like, name some of them off, and then you'll notice that most of them don't have kids at Hogwarts.
Yeah. Let me see. Who are the Sacred 28? Let's see if it says their names. Who are the Sacred 28? Abbott. We have Hannah Abbott.
Uh-huh.
Avery.
No Avery's in Hogwarts. Avery's one of the Death Eaters. He has no children.
He has a son at Hogwarts.
No,
that's the other one. You're thinking of
a flashback. Continue.
No, that's another one. That's another kid. Continue. Okay. Black. They don't have any more. Well, technically yes, because Narcissa Malfoy is a black.
But they don't go, they go under the name Malfoy, which is a pureblood family, so it's not a black. Continue.
Bulstrode. Millicent.
Which we found around this book.
Burke. Like Borgin and Burks. I don't think they have anyone.
Nope. As far as we know.
Caro. Nope. The last ones were Amicus and Electo.
Uh-huh.
They come up later. Mm-hmm. Crouch. We don't have any right now.
Nope.
Folly. There are none mentioned in the Harry Potter stories, it says. Flint. Oh, none. Marcus Flint. He was the...
Oh, he was. He was, captain. Yeah.
Gaunt. No.
Nope.
Greengrass. Oh, yeah. The one who ends up... There is one. Astoria. She's at school right now.
Continue.
Lestrange.
But we don't know about her.
No, we don't.
We're talking about characters that we know of in the story. Continue.
Yeah. Lestrange. We don't have any. Longbottom. Neville.
Yep.
McMillan. Ernie.
Uh-huh.
Malfoy. Draco.
Uh-huh.
Not, we don't have any. We do, but we don't know about it yet. That's the one who I was thinking about. There is a Death Eater who is named Not, mm-hmm. who has a kid at Hogwarts. That's the one I was thinking about.
We don't know him in the story, though,
do we? We don't. He's a minor character, but it's one of those that JK has written about, so we know that he's there, but we don't actually know of him. Ollivander.
No.
We just know he makes wands.
Mm-hmm.
Parkinson. Pansy.
Yeah.
Pruitt. That makes me sad.
Yep.
Rosier.
None in Hogwarts.
Yeah. Rowl.
None in Hogwarts. That we know of.
No, none. Selwyn?
Again, none in Hogwarts I know of.
No.
So it's safe to say that 75%...
Shacklebolt!
None
in Hogwarts. I can't believe Shacklebolt is one of the Sacred 28.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Shafiq?
Okay.
None. Like, it literally... No appearances were made by the Shafiq family in the Potter series.
Uh-huh.
Slughorn?
Oh, what's your password?
I'll text it to you.
Yeah, okay. Again, not in Hogwarts, though.
Travers.
Not in Hogwarts.
Weasley.
Quite a few in Hogwarts.
All of them in Hogwarts. Yaxley.
Not in Hogwarts.
Yeah, and the Potters didn't make it to the Sacred 28 because it's a Muggle surname.
It's a Muggle surname, and I think that... No,
it is. because the anonymous compiler of the supposedly definitive list of pure blood suspected that they had sprung from what he considered to be tainted blood. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
I love that.
So again, only like 5 to 6 of the names of the Sacred 28 had kids at Hogwarts. So it's safe to say that, like, the pureblood population at Hogwarts is, like, beyond minimal.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the long point that we tried to, that I tried to make out.
Yes.
That only some of the student body could feel maybe safe because there were no pureblood attacks. And that was, like, the aim of the heir of Slytherin is to beware mudbloods kind of thing.
You said the M word, Albert.
I did. I'm trying to stay with...
I know,
the
but,
theme of the book.
Yes, but even then, the ones who are, should be really scared are the Muggleborns. At least the Half-Bloods can feel a little bit calmer because they're Half-Bloods. They're not Muggleborns, and the Muggleborns are the ones who seem to be attacked. And my thing is, from a psychological standpoint, it's ridiculously difficult to concentrate and learn and retain new things when you're under stress.
Yep.
Your brain just doesn't encode that properly when you're trying to retain the memories. So it makes sense to me, because Harry even thinks to himself that he can't remember anything he's learned that year that could be useful on an exam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
Because Harry's year has been different than anyone else's year. So everyone's scared, but going to class, kind of learning, but kind of afraid for their life. Harry's like, for half of the year, Malfoy's the heir of Slytherin. And then the other half is like, I have no idea who the heir of Slytherin is, but they're out there. Oh.
And I hear a disembodied voice threatening to kill people.
Yeah. His year is so much different as compared to everyone else's.
Well, and everybody for a while has thought that he was the heir of Slytherin, so he was being treated poorly because of it. So he's like, oh, that's awesome. I don't know what's going on anywhere.
Yep. So, 3 days after McGonagall tells them that, you know, they still do their exams, she tells them that she has a surprise for them.
She has another announcement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my god, this, oh my god, that.
So
yeah.
Some of them think Dumbledore's back. One Ravenclaw girl hopes they caught the heir of Slytherin. And good old Oliver Wood really wants Quidditch matches to be back on. I mean, he's on brand.
Yes. Unfortunately for all of them, it's just that the Mandrake draft is going to be ready.
Yeah. They're mature. Which, they're going to be the little...
Going to be ready soon. Yes. Very, very soon.
Yeah, and she's like, I want to remind you that one of them may very well wake up and tell us who is the perpetrator of these attacks.
And then after this announcement, Ginny seems a little odd.
I wrote KG.
Yes.
But that makes sense, too. She seems a little off.
Yep. And then Ron and Harry try to ask her what's going on.
Then Harry specifically says, does it have anything to do with the Chamber of Secrets? And he's like, she reminds me of something. She's like rocking back and forth. And then it hits him. She reminds him of Dobby whenever Dobby has showed up and had to tell him something, but can't.
Yep.
So she's about to tell them.
And then Percy shows up.
And he's like, hey, if you're done, let me have your seat because I just got off patrolling and I'm starving.
And she takes that as her cue to run off.
So, Ron and Harry, they're like, Percy, come on, you stopped her from talking to us. And I literally have the quotes here because I thought that it was the funniest interaction ever. So, you can read it.
No, so, I mean, this is unimportant, really, to the entire book.
Yes but and it's, no.
It matters later, but only because of a name.
Yes.
So, okay, so basically it's that Ginny... came across Percy doing something quote-unquote embarrassing, and Ron wants to know what it is, but Percy won't tell him.
Yes.
That's all this interaction is.
Yeah.
And
he's like, I thought she would keep it to herself, but it's okay. And Ron is like, what were you doing, Percy? Grinning. Yeah. Go on, tell us. We won't laugh. So Harry and Ron decide that they need to figure out how to make an opportunity to go talk to Myrtle.
Yeah.
Because that's after the only clue they have. Yeah. But again, how are they going to do it? Like, it's literally going to be darn near impossible for them to complete this.
Unless you use the dumbest teacher to your advantage.
Which they do, because later that same day, they manage to trick good old Gilderoy Lockhart, the one who's leading them to their next class, into letting them go by themselves.
They basically just are completely on his side. Yeah. Oh, there's... Yeah, the chamber is closed now. They got the guy. Don't even worry about it.
And once they wake up, you're going to hear that the first thing out of their mouths is that it was Hagrid. And Harry's like, you know what? You're right.
And Ron is appalled. But
then he quickly realizes it's a ploy to get Gilderoy on their side. And it works. And he's like, you don't have to take us to class. Everything is fine.
Of course not. And then he leaves.
And Gilderoy's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Indeed. So off he goes. And they try to make their way to Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. But they don't actually get there. They get caught by Professor McGonagall. And Harry makes an excuse that they snuck off to try and go see Hermione because they miss her so much. And McGonagall, in like a rare moment of like, not a rare moment, that sounds mean, but like a moment in which she like understands the emotional aspect of it, is like, not necessarily teary-eyed, but like...
They say she has a raspy voice, rasp to her voice when she says it.
Yeah, that they're allowed to go see her in the hospital wing and that they can tell Madame Pomfrey that she sent them.
Because it's gotta be hardest on the friends.
Yep.
And that's one of the things I love about McGonagall. You know, she doesn't... What I think you were trying to hint at is she's not one of those people who outwardly displays her emotions all the time. Because she's a teacher. She's not supposed to. But she very much cares about them. She very much cares about the school. And something is threatening her school and her kids.
That's, like, a little bit of a spoiler, but not really. This understanding of McGonagall and understanding later of Harry as a character, as a grown character, is why I will never be okay with the cursed child.
You've said this multiple times.
I will, until I die.
Okay. Or until JK says, you know what? Not canon.
Oh, if that were to happen... It'd be a celebratory day. I'd cook food for the family, we'd watch movies, we'd laugh, and do all the beautiful things in life. Because I hate The Cursed Child. And people are like, oh, but it's so great, and it's a whole different experience if you actually see it. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it is. Doesn't change the fact that the characters are not in line with who they actually are.
Yeah.
Or at least the main character.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get what you're saying, but I'm of that mindset that if JK says it's canon, I have to accept it as canon. She is the one who created the world.
I wonder how much money they gave her.
Al, moving on. So, they make it up there to the hospital wing.
Because they kind of have to.
Now that McGonagall's let them go. And Madame Pomfrey's like, it's just like talking to a piece of wood. She's not there. She can't hear you. And they still talk to her anyway. And they actually figure out that Hermione, because Harry notices this.
Which somehow they haven't noticed for months.
For months. Because this happened back in April. She was petrified in April.
Yeah.
And they're already almost in June.
They're what? 4 days off from June. So it's literally almost been 2 months.
Yeah.
No one. People who found her. Madame Pomfrey, who's treating her. No one notices.
Continue. Except for Harry, who now notices... this is part of the quote. I did not mark that. Let me mark that right now. Okay. I'll fix it. Hold on.
Harry notices that Hermione has a piece of paper in her hand.
That's tightly clutched in her hand because she's petrified, so it's not like you can unfurl her fingers. So this is what's actually in the book. It was no easy task. Hermione's hand was clamped so tightly around the paper that Harry was sure he was going to tear it. While Ron kept watch, he tugged and twisted, and at last, after several tense minutes, the paper came free. It was a page from a very old library book. How dare Hermione rip something out of a library book? Anyway, Harry smoothed it out eagerly, and Ron leaned close to read it, too.
Of the many fearsome beasts and monsters that roam our land, there is none more curious or more deadly than the basilisk, known also as the King of Serpents. This snake, which may reach gigantic size and live many hundreds of years, is born from a chicken's egg, hatched beneath a toad. Its methods of killing are most wondrous, for aside from its deadly and venomous fangs, the basilisk has a murderous stare, and all who are fixed with the beam of its eyes shall suffer instant death. Spiders flee before the basilisk, for it is their mortal enemy, and the basilisk flees only from the crowing of the rooster, which is fatal to it.
And beneath this, a single word had been written in a hand Harry recognized as Hermione's. Pipes. So, once again, at this point, she's, what, 13? 13-year-old Hermione has figured out what nobody else, including Dumbledore, could figure out.
She figured it out in a couple of months, and Dumbledore has had over 50 years.
Because he was there at the school, per Tom Riddle's memory that we saw.
Yeah, he was there the first time, which was 50 years ago. He's had 50 years to figure it out.
What did he do in those 50 years? Lol. I don't care because nothing's happening.
The thing is that Dumbledore seems the type to not be able to let something go unless he understands it. So there's no way that Dumbledore hasn't thought of this. There's no way...
At one point, at least, in 50 years.
There's no way that Dumbledore, in his infinite wisdom, didn't go, the monster is Slytherin, so it might be a snake. Wow, what's the biggest snake? It might be the King of Snakes.
But how would it get around?
Everyone has to poop.
Everyone.
Including the snake. I don't know. I love Harry Potter, but this is one of the big things in the entire series that sticks out at me as being something so ridiculous. It's so insane.
So, okay. Hermione's figured it out. Where were we? Okay. I'm sorry. I have to go back down. So she's figured it out. That the monster in the Chamber of Secrets must be a basilisk. And it makes sense. It explains everything.
How everyone got petrified and not killed.
Well, so first, the mysterious voice that only Harry can hear. Of course only he can hear it, because he's the only parcel mouth in the whole school. So he speaks parcel tongue, so he can hear the snake talking.
To be fair, Dumbledore didn't have this information. Dumbledore does not know that there's a mysterious voice that Harry can hear. Because he might have made that connection.
I think that if Harry had been like, when one of the millions of times that Dumbledore was like, hey Harry, do you have anything to tell me? If Harry had been like, you know, I'm hearing a voice that nobody else can hear, and it's threatening to kill people, I think Dumbledore would have been like, basilisk.
Because it might have been the last piece of the puzzle, because it's like, Harry can talk to snakes, and he can hear a voice that no one... It's a snake! Right? But wait. Colin Creevy saw it through his camera, and he got petrified.
I think everything would have fallen into place for Dumbledore.
Exactly.
Had he had he this didn't have one all piece the of information that Hermione had.
Yeah.
That he did it.
So you know what? Fair. Okay. Fine, I guess.
Fine. And no one has been killed because no one has looked directly at it. So Colin Creevy saw it, like you said, saw it through his camera. Justin Finch Fletchley saw it through nearly headless Nick, who was already dead, so he couldn't die again.
And he's the one who took the full
exactly. brunt of it. Mrs. Norris saw the reflection of it from the waters of the flooded bathroom. Mm-hmm. Hermione and Penelope Clearwater, who was the other girl who was petrified at the same time.
They were found with a mirror.
With a mirror.
Yeah.
So, of course, as soon as Hermione figured it out, she was like, hey, look around corners with a mirror. Because this thing, if you look at it directly, will kill you.
And that explains the fleeing of the spiders. Because the basilisk is their mortal enemy.
And this also explains Hagrid's roosters mysteriously being killed. Throughout
the entire school year, we find out.
Like, he's carrying around dead roosters into Dumbledore's office when he's like, Harry didn't do it, when Justin Fletchley is found.
Yeah. So, having solved the mystery, after Hermione solved the mystery...
after Hermione solved it 2 months earlier.
Yes. And they finally, whoa, we figured it out. They both go to...
I'm sorry. I can't. They literally... They've been... What have they been doing for 2 months? What have they been doing?
I can tell you right now. Harry is like, I wonder who it is. And thinking really hard. Really hard. Because that's what he does. And Ron's like, I still think it's Malfoy. And it's gotta be...
Gotta be Malfoy. Yeah. Somehow Malfoy...
He said it himself that he's not... He's a liar. He's a scumbag. It was him. That's for 2 months.
Okay, I'm sorry. Woo! Okay, so they decide that they're going to go to the staff room and tell the teachers everything they know. Because at this point, they figured it out. And they love Hogwarts as much as anybody else, so they want to be able to tell the teachers so that the teachers can do something. Uh-huh. And I love how I'm going like this. Because I want them to...
Hand-talking.
I'm hand-talking. I am wildly gesticulating to the point where I'm like, they want to go that way with my hands.
Relax. Sorry. So them harder, your hands will fly off and hit me.
Yes. You're so lucky we don't go to the African school where they use hand gestures because your head might have fallen off.
True. True. I'm here for it. So they get to the staff room, and as soon as they do, they hear McGonagall's magically... amplified/magnified voice, telling everyone to return to the dormitories immediately. Harry and Ron decide, in all their infinite wisdom as well, to hide in the closet in the staff room.
Because, you know, when somebody tells you, please go back to your dormitories immediately, my first thought is to hide
instead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, again, we saw them do this in Philosopher's Stone / Sorcerer's Stone.
There's a troll. Wow, it's in the dungeon? Guess where we're going? Finger guns to the dungeon. Yeah,
they're like, everybody go back to your dorms. They're like, nope.
Yeah, I don't... Wow.
I love their blatant disrespect. No, I really don't.
No, I mean story. So, they decide to hide in the wardrobe. Standard move. And all the teachers rush to the staff room to find out what's going on. Why the sudden announcement... And McGonagall gets there and is like, there's been another attack.
And then Harry and Ron hear something that they really didn't want to hear.
You do, McGonagall. Go.
Okay. It has happened, she told the silent staff room. A student has been taken by the monster right into the chamber itself.
Professor Flitwick let out a squeal. Professor Sprout clapped her hands over her mouth. Snape gripped the back of a chair very hard and said... How can you be sure?
The heir of Slytherin, said Professor McGonagall, who was very white, left another message right underneath the first one. Her skeleton will lie in the chamber forever.
Professor Flitwick burst into tears. Who is it? Said Madame Hooch, who was sunk weak-kneed into a chair. Which student?
Ginny Weasley, said Professor McGonagall.
Harry felt Ron slide silently down onto the wardrobe floor beside him.
We shall have to send all the students home tomorrow, said Professor McGonagall. This is the end of Hogwarts. Dumbledore always said...
So, that's sad. That's gotta be, like, heartbreaking for Ron. Like, I'm actually feeling a little sad. I know how it ends and everything. I'm still a little sad because it's gotta be, like... Such a soul crusher to hear that. Like, my sister is going to die.
And what we have to remember is that him and Jeannie... Jeannie? Really? him and Ginny are the closest in age. They're literally just a year and a couple of months apart. So they've grown up together. They've played together.
He's the older brother.
He's the older brother, but they're really close. Mm-hmm. We may not see it right now. We see it as they go throughout their story, but they are very close. And that's why they mess with each other as much as they do later on. So to hear that his sister has not only been part of an attack, but has been dragged down to this monster's lair and that she'll never be found. What?
Yeah. It's sad. Think of like one of the people you care most about in the world and someone telling you that they're going to die. Because that's what that means.
Yes.
She's in the chamber and her skeleton will lie there forever. Mm. It's basically she's going to die and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad. It has to be, like, I don't know, just the worst thing. So, of course, Lockhart is late in getting to the staff room to hear what's going on. And the teachers band together to force him to confront the monster because he's been boasting all around the castle that he knows exactly where the Chamber of Secrets is and can fight the monster. And it's so lucky that it sealed itself shut or else he would have handled it himself.
Yeah. So, excuse me. I just got a tickle in my throat. Let me drink something real quick. So,
Harry and Ron decide that if Lockhart isn't going to be the one to deal with it, that they have to give him all the information they possibly have.
But they decide this after they've been sitting in the common room, the Gryffindor common room, unable to say anything to each other. Percy sent an owl to the Weasleys to let them know what happened.
To their daughter.
All the rest of the Weasleys are sitting there not really talking. And, like, nobody else really knows what to say to them. Because what can you say to them? And that's when they decide, we got to talk to Lockhart. If he's going to face this thing, he needs to know what he's facing. And we need to help however we can.
Uh-huh.
And so, I get it. Somebody told me that your bones were going to lie in the Chamber of Secrets forever, I'd be like, I know who did it. Let me go tell whoever needs to know.
Yeah. So they sneak out. I think they sneak out, right?
Yes.
And they get to Lockhart's office, find him instead of preparing to handle the situation, frantically packing so he can run away.
What a coward.
So when they question on why such a talented wizard is leaving when he's most needed, Lockhart admits that he's a fraud.
Yes.
Finally. I mean, it's not like we didn't know, but him saying
now we actually have proof.
Yes.
Definitive proof. You mean you're running away? Said Harry, disbelievingly, after all that stuff you did in your books. Books can be misleading, said Lockhart delicately. You wrote them, Harry shouted. My dear boy, said Lockhart, straightening up and frowning at Harry. Do use your common sense. My books wouldn't have sold half as well if people didn't think I'd done all those things. No one wants to read about some ugly old Armenian warlock, even if he did save a village from werewolves. He'd look dreadful on the front cover, no dress sense at all. And the witch who banished the Bandon Banshee had a hairy chin. I mean, come on. So you've just been taking credit for what a load of other people have done? Said Harry incredulously.
Harry, said Lockhart, shaking his head impatiently. It's not nearly as simple as that. There was work involved. I had to track these people down, ask them exactly how they managed to do what they did. Then I had to put a memory charm on them so they wouldn't remember doing it. If there's one thing I pride myself on, it's my memory charms. No, it's been a lot of work, Harry. It's not all book signings and publicity photos, you know. You want fame, you have to be prepared for a long, hard slog.
What's a slog?
I think it just means like a journey, like a struggle, like a journey plus trudge.
Work hard over a period of time.
There you go.
A spell of difficult, tiring work or traveling.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense. Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I'm like, that jerk.
So having admitted to his fraudulent fame and everything, his entire existence is a fraud scam.
Yeah.
He tries to put a memory charm on them, but they disarm him in time.
Mm-hmm.
And under threat with their wands, takes him to Moaning Myrtle's bathroom because they know that this is the entrance to the Chamber of Secrets.
Well, they assume.
Well, they assume it is.
Yeah. And they assume correctly.
Because they have Moaning Myrtle explain her death, and the circumstances says, surrounding it, right. Having been in the bathroom crying because she got bullied by someone.
She actually hearing says a boy. Her name.
Yeah, something. I don't. It doesn't matter.
Oh no! It Olive Hornby.
Because she haunted her.
Yes, I think it's funny. Okay, so Moaning Myrtle actually ended up haunting this poor woman so bad that Olive Hornby, as an adult, had to go to the Ministry of Magic to get them to intervene to force Moaning Myrtle back into her bathroom.
Yes.
So that's literally the only place that she can be in bathrooms and wherever the piping can take her.
Yeah.
Okay. I just had to throw that out there because I read it and I thought that it was hysterical.
They made it seem like, I'm not gonna lie, they made it seem like it was, like, on her, like, near deathbed, or, like, she was very, very old. That, for the Hornby woman.
No, it was when she was an adult.
But, it seemed like a much longer time than just, like, she turned 30 and was, like, enough.
Well, because I think, like, she shows up at her wedding, like, it's just all kinds of bad. It's in another one of the books, like, that go into more character development. It's not in here. We'll go over Moaning Myrtle as it relates to the Ministry of Magic later. It's not a big deal. So she actually says, you know, she was in the stall crying because Olive Hornby made fun of her glasses. And she's crying there and she hears somebody talking a strange language and she realizes it's a boy. So she comes out of her stall to yell at the boy because obviously it's a girl's bathroom and he shouldn't be in there. And the last thing she remembers is seeing a pair of enormous eyes. And then she's gone. And she's floating and floating and she's gone. And that's when they realize that's what it is. And she saw these enormous eyes by one of the sinks, where the tap never worked.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry looks and looks, and he finds a snake carved on the tap. And it's like, really?
This, again, doesn't make sense, because we find out later that plumbing is a relatively new thing to wizard kind.
Yes, but the way that it was explained, and I read it, I don't remember which one of the books I read it in, but I read it in Hogwarts, A History Of, I'm going to be Hermione for a second, that apparently when plumbing was put into Hogwarts, the main person involved in it, they're saying was probably one of the heirs of Slytherin, like Slytherin family, and realized what was happening. So they purposely created the pipework so that it could be connected to this place.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where is this heir of Slytherin in the past? Like, who was it?
Like, well, it was like a descendant of Slytherin who knew that there was this chamber. This was like hundreds of years ago.
But the thing is how did he make the enchantment? We find out that they try to open it with English, doesn't work. Harry speaks parcel tongue and it opens up.
Maybe he was also a parcel mouth. Sorry. Let's use the correct terminology.
I'll buy into it for now.
Well, it makes sense.
There's no reason not to buy into it.
Yeah.
I'm just being difficult.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Thank you for agreeing that I'm being difficult.
You're welcome. Well, you tell me I'm being difficult all the time, and sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't, so...
You know, we're out here.
Okay. Yeah, we know our limitations. So, Harry looks at the snake carved on the tap, and he realizes he might need to speak parcel tongue to it.
Well,
to
have he thinks that this is where it is. Let's try to open up. Let's try and get it open. Open yeah. up, they try in English, and then Ron suggests that they try parcel tongue.
Yeah.
So Ron is the one who has
this the is smart where moment. He's helpful.
Wow, the one time in the book.
Well, stop it. So he's like, okay, and he looks at the snake and he tries, and he's like, nope, still English. Ron's like, nope, still English. So then he has to actually visualize the snake
being as alive.
Alive, yeah. And when he does that, he does his gobbledygook. Yes, that sounds more like it. and it opens up. It opens up, and they slide down this ginormous slide the pipes.
The thing is that the book makes it, it doesn't make it out to be like a slide. It makes it out to be like a fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, excuse me.
Well, it's probably a very steep pipe to get down to where the Chamber of Secrets is. So I'm assuming it feels like they're falling, even though it's probably more like a 50-degree angle.
I don't know.
45-degree angle?
I don't know.
I would be really scared if I was going down a 45-degree angle pipe. That feels like it's never going to end. Because that's what it says in the book. Like, it feels like it's never going to end.
Mm-hmm.
So they make it down, and they're walking around trying to figure out where they're going, because it's a set of maze-like tunnels far under the school.
Twisting and turning.
Below the dungeons.
Yes.
Far below the dungeons.
And they come across something ridiculously scary, and it turns out that it is a shedded skin left by the basilisk. The light slid over a gigantic snake skin of a vivid, poisonous green, lying curled and empty across the tunnel floor. The creature that had shed it must have been 20 feet long at least.
Interesting thing to me mm-hmm. is that we know that the dungeon is below the lake
mm-hmm.
because of the light, right?
Yes.
The Chamber of Secrets also has, it's stated as being under the lake,
mm-hmm.
but then the chamber is under the dungeon, so they wouldn't get runoff or any kind of from the lake.
What if it's so far below the dungeon? We don't know how, okay, so we know that the lake has an octopus in it.
Yes.
A giant octopus. So the lake has to be really deep. We're assuming that the Slytherin dungeons are obviously underground because they can see the lake through their window in their common room. That doesn't mean that it's so far underground that all they can see is the lake. What if they're right at the level of where the lake starts? We mm-hmm. have to have a lot of space for that giant octopus to live.
True.
And we find out later other things.
We're never really told that the lake is, like, at this point, that the lake yeah. is, like, huge.
Yeah. But we find out later that it's bigger than we realize.
Yeah.
Because it has entire ecosystems.
Yeah.
So to me it makes sense that if this is far below the dungeons, that this lake must be huge. Because there is a little bit of runoff, and there are tunnels, and you have to realize that, hey, stuff is happening down this way.
Uh-huh.
I'm just surprised that nobody else has ever thought to go further down into the lake.
Yeah.
Well, giant squid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And other things.
Upon seeing this shed skin of the basilisk. The
of monster, doom.
Yes. Lockhart collapses.
Yeah, but we realize that he's just faking it.
Yeah, when Ron tries to see what's up, and Lockhart snatches his wand and says, like, the jig is up, the game is over, we're done, we're leaving, we're not doing this.
And I'm going to tell everybody that you lost your minds at the sight of Jenny's mangled body, and I tried to stop you, but I had to save myself, and I'm just going to erase your memories and leave you down here.
Yep.
That's exactly who you want to be a professor at Hogwarts. I question Dumbledore's judgment. Very much so.
I mean, so I hope this doesn't come as a surprise, but Dumbledore actually knew some of the witches or wizards that Lockhart had befuddled their memory and taken credit for what they'd done. Like, Dumbledore knew them.
Yeah.
So he hired Lockhart in hopes to have the opportunity to reveal him as a fraud to help his friends.
Yeah.
And also, Dumbledore is known kind of as like a trickster, kind of. He likes to mess with people.
Yeah, he does.
So, like, him hiring Lockhart is to reveal that he's a fraud and to troll the entire student body.
Pretty much. Which always kind of bothered me, because if you think about it, the fifth years take the OWLs, the owls.
Yes.
And then the seventh years take their newts. Mm-hmm. So you have a teacher in arguably one of the most important classes you can take for many magical professions out there.
Well, the thing
who
is,
isn't
is that,
actually a good teacher.
The thing is that Defense Against the Dark Arts for me only really applies to a handful of jobs at the level that you need an outstanding, to get to Newt level and beyond. You don't need that high. You can do your OWL and get, like, an acceptable, and you're good for a lot of jobs, I assume. But for, like, the wizarding police, I know what they're called, but I'm going to pretend like I don't know.
Okay.
The wizarding police and all that stuff, like, they need to, they're the only ones who really have to have a high standard in that subject.
So for everything else, I can understand getting an exceeds expectations or an outstanding or acceptable in the OWLs, the ordinary wizarding levels. Exams.
It's a big test, basically.
Yes. It's, think of it like the SATs.
Mini SATs, because they're newts are the actual SATs.
I would say the newts are more like the GREs.
Yeah, okay.
Which is the graduate record exam. But NEWT stands for Nationally Exhausting Wizarding Test.
Yeah.
So it's worse than the OWL, and the OWLs drive people in their fifth year a little insane.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out about that
later.
Much later, but...
Yeah. But, like, so the boys are in their second year, which means that the twins are in their fourth year, which means that Percy is in his sixth year. He's already done his OWLs. Thank God he didn't have Lockhart as his Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, because he would have lost his mind.
Yep.
But depending on what he wants to do in the future, the next year he's going to have to take his newts.
He can, they had to play a wicked game of catch-up.
Oh, yeah.
But they can do it.
They can do it, but it's like, Dumbledore is putting them behind.
It's thoroughly irresponsible for Dumbledore as the headmaster to hire someone who is that completely incompetent to waste an entire year of learning for the student body.
Just to be like, gotcha.
Yeah. It's messed up, but it's also funny, so.
Yes.
I'm okay with it.
So, you know, he's got Ron's wand to try to perform this memory charm.
Becomes very villainous for a second.
Very villainous. The kind of person you don't want around children.
Uh-huh.
And this evil intent kind of catches up with him very quickly. Karma gets him immediately.
Yeah, he tries to perform the memory charm, and because he uses Ron's wand, which we know from, like, the second or third chapter, does not work. Snapped in half.
Practically.
Yeah. The memory charm backfires and hits him instead.
And I love the way the book shows this. The book is like, wow, who are you? And he's like, I'm Ron. And he's like, fascinating. By the way, who am I?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness. I love
that
he got
right now?
His, yeah, it happens right now. I love that he gets his comeuppance immediately. So unfortunately, when it backfires, it causes this part of the ceiling of the tunnel they're in to cave in, separating Harry.
Doesn't happen now, you heck of a
No,
liar.
It does. It happens I'm now. And then it happens that. Again later on when they're trying to go back.
I'm reading it right now. He kicks him in the shin and he says, ow, but that's it.
Well, yes, in the movie I said.
Oh. No, in the book, doesn't he say, like, oh, do you live here? Or is it the movie?
No, in the movie he says, oh, do you live here?
Okay, because that, I was just like,
yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
Who would want to live down here? Anyway, so part of the ceiling caved in, and it separates Ron and Gilderoy Lockhart on one side, and Harry on the other side, closer to deeper into this tunnel.
Yeah.
To where they assume the Chamber of Secrets is going to be. So he doesn't have any other recourse but to keep going.
Yeah, and he tells Ron, wait there with Lockhart, and if I'm not back within an hour, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. So Ron tells him he'll try and get through.
I'll try to shift some rocks.
So that he can get out.
And Harry, see you in a bit, Harry says. Yeah. So he keeps going and in search of Ginny, in search of the chamber, hopefully not running into the basilisk, but you never know. And I put the last little bit of this chapter there because I think it summarizes it perfectly. Soon, the distant noise of Ron straining to shift the rocks was gone. The tunnel turned and turned again. Every nerve in Harry's body was tingling up unpleasantly. He wanted the tunnel to end, yet dreaded what he'd find when it did. And then, at last, as he crept around yet another bend, he saw a solid wall ahead on which two entwined serpents were carved, their eyes set with great glinting emeralds. Oh, those are pretty. Mm-hmm. Harry approached, his throat very dry. There was no need to pretend these stone snakes were real. Their eyes looked strangely alive. Whew. He could guess what he had to do. He cleared his throat and the emerald eyes seemed to flicker. Open, said Harry in a low, faint hiss. The serpents parted as the wall cracked open. The halves slid smoothly. I can't see because you...
Out of sight.
Uh-huh. And Harry, shaking from head to foot, walked inside.
And that is the end of chapter 16, The Chamber of Secrets.
If they were going to go to see Gilderoy Lockhart and they knew that the basilisk could travel in the pipes, why didn't they walk around with mirrors?
I mean, they're like, the monster's busy with Ginny, let's go and let's just be quick.
And I would still take a mirror. That is why I'm a Ravenclaw.
I think I would prefer speed over taking the slow route. Like, oh, look over my shoulder. Walking backwards like this. Like, if I'm petrified, I'm screwed anyway. So go as quick as humanly possible.
And run with your eyes closed?
Yeah, basically. No, Siri, I mean...
Hey, Al, your Gryffindor is showing.
Wow, let's be really, really slow and meticulous and smart about this. Oh, there's some ice... And he just hit the floor. What are you gonna do?
I would still have one in my pocket just in case from then on. The second I see that it says pipes and I realize the mirrors and everything with Hermione, I'd be like, let me put a mirror in my pocket just in case. Because they're down there and he's going through these turns.
Yeah, and he's like, the second I hear something, I close my eyes. You kind of have to. Again. If you have a mirror, you're like, and then it just looks at you and you reflect it. You're petrified. It's gonna kill you anyway. The stupid route is literally the smart route. Close my eyes and just run.
I don't like the use of the word stupid, but I get it.
The one that seems less intelligent is actually the correct way.
In this one instance, yes, I'll give you that one.
Just the mirror over your shoulder. Oh, there's some pretty eyes. And you just collapse. You're done.
Ooh, sinister. And you just kill him.
just hit the floor like a sack of potatoes.
Oh, that made me feel good. Okay, and with that, this chapter is finished. I have nothing else to say. Do you have anything to add, Al?
Like, follow, subscribe, and until next time, goodbye.